We can certainly be thankful for God's unending, amazing grace, can't we? Kelly, thank you for sharing with us that beautiful prayer song. I need to find out, as far as for this evening, I know we had Vespers listed in the bulletin. Generally, it tells what it is. Is there someone who has planned on Vespers this evening? Okay, it appears that I don't believe we'll have Vespers this evening. We just want to make sure that you're aware that no Vespers this evening, but we will look forward to perhaps next week having a regular Vespers program. Have you seen recently one of the ads on TV for the Georgia Lottery? It's a young man is sort of slouched down in the couch. He's watching television, and suddenly from the coffee table, I don't remember if there's some kind of vase there or what, but suddenly rising up from the coffee table is an apparition of himself, an older self. It's coming up and it's telling him, it's wearing this brilliant outfit, and it tells him to go down and buy a lottery ticket. How many of you have seen that ad? You know, we see a lot of ads, we see a lot of programs that we may look at them and think, oh, they're just innocent fun, they're cute stories. We may ask ourselves the question, so what? But television today constantly is reminding us about supernatural events. It's constantly reminding us about the paranormal phenomena, things happening that aren't just the ordinary. In fact, over the last several years, it's been interesting to notice that apparitions of the Virgin Mary have been announced more and more on television. They seem to be happening more frequently than in the past. The question that we might ask, is this significant in any way to end time events, the times in which we are living? Marvin Moore, who's the editor of Signs magazine, believes that it is. He has a book out called The Coming Great Calamity. He has several books out, but in this particular book, chapter 10 is a chapter about a modern deception. It particularly deals with Marian apparitions. It's a focus of the book there. Now, he's not alone in focusing in on these increasing number of Marian apparitions. Also, attorney Pastor Edward Reed. Some of you have seen his book, Sunday's Coming. He has several books out as well. The subtitle of this book is Eye-Opening Evidence That These Are the Very Last Days. Sunday's Coming. In his book as well, there's a chapter, Spiritualism Joins the Church. Very interesting chapter, very interesting observations that Ed Reed makes in this book. But in this, he specifically focuses in as well on these apparitions of the Virgin Mary. I recall an article a few years ago in the Huntsville, Alabama Times. It included a 5x7 picture, actually a four-color picture there on the front of the newspaper. It showed a large building, a building with black glass on the windows. This was from the Seminole Finance Corporation in Clearwater, Florida, just a little ways off Highway 19 there in Clearwater. And in this photo on the front of the Huntsville Times, there was a crowd of about 200 people standing out in front of this building. They were gazing up at these 9 large glass panels that made up the front of the building. Now, it was very interesting. On the panels was a very pronounced, very colorful, very familiar form on the front of that building. It was the imagery of the Virgin Mary. This image was about 50 feet wide and 35 feet tall. The head and shoulders of the image were highly accurate, very proportional. Anyone who saw it said you couldn't doubt but what you were seeing, a picture of the Virgin Mary. In the photo, the outline of the image could be very, very clearly seen, and it had iridescent shades of purple and blue and yellow and green. It was a robe-draped figure, and the head was sort of downcast. It was very visible. Even in broad daylight, people could see the imagery very clear. Now, the article in the paper related how that thousands of people had come from all around to look on this building, to look at this imagery, and it said around 500 at a time were usually there looking up at the building trying to figure out, where did this come from? How did it get there? There were 18 policemen that Huntsville assigned to go and be there. Down there in Clearwater, they assigned to be there to control the crowds that were coming in to see this apparition. And everyone was asking the question, how did this image get there? Where did it come from? There were those who speculated that someone had just painted a picture on the glass. Others suggested that perhaps somehow the sprinkler system had sprayed water up on the window and somehow it left this image. But the image went as high, it was 35 feet tall, but actually it was 40 feet off the ground to the top of it. Their sprinkler systems didn't come near to that high. And a spokesperson for Seminole Finance confirmed that no one had painted anything on the glass. She said, we don't know where it came from. The form of Mary appearing on the front of this building is just another supernatural phenomenon that defines explanation. How did it come to be? What did it even mean? People were wondering, how did this happen to be in Clearwater, Florida? What would attract it to be here? One thing is for sure, witnesses who were there by the thousands testify, witnessed that it was there, that it was very visible. What was the purpose? What was the message? Was someone trying to tell us something? More and more we hear reports of things like UFOs, flying craft that people describe seeing, sometimes very brilliant, but not making any sound, or perhaps they talk about a whirling type sound. More and more we hear stories of people claiming that someone or something has appeared to them, usually giving messages of love, messages of encouragement. There have been stories, I recall reading a story down in Mexico about a stone image there that was crying. In fact, there were some reports of another image. In fact, it said it was crying tears of blood. And they came, they looked at it, they checked it out, and they said it certainly appears like this stone image is crying. What's going on? Some people ask the question, are we in fact being invaded by some kind of host of aliens? In a word, the answer is yes. Jesus warned that there will be false Christs and there will be false prophets. He describes that there will be those who will come for the purpose of deceiving. Unfallen beings are in heaven with Christ, but there were the fallen angels that were cast out to the earth. In our studies of Revelation and prayer meeting, we studied about how Satan and his angels will appear to deceive many. But because many of these unexplained manifestations are more and more common, skeptics are hard-pressed to discount the testimony of those who say, I was there, I saw it. More and more, those who are testifying are credible people, people in the community who are looked up to. There are those who will stand and tell them without a doubt that they saw these different apparitions or these different images. There is a new presence being felt in the earth. There's increasing evidence of this presence, and people need to understand about the doorway to deception. The time period of the soon coming seven last trumpets of Revelation chapters 8 and 9 and 11 are a time when there will be many, many miracles. There will be many signs, many wonders. In fact, the Bible foretells of a time when there will be many deceptive wonders. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says, "And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders." The Bible says Satan is going to bring counterfeit signs and wonders to the earth, and that many will be deceived. In fact, Jesus in Matthew 24, talking about those coming claiming to be Christ or claiming to be prophets, he says, if it were possible, these deceptions would even deceive the very elect. Do we need to understand ways in which Satan will try to deceive us? Do we need to understand who's behind these things? As the appointed time draws closer, we should expect a significant increase in the many unexplained manifestations. The very fact that these events are increasing even now, that we're hearing more and more about them, tells me that we need to be aware that the time is drawing near. The time when Christ will come, the time when Revelation 8, 3 to 5 describes a censer being cast down and then the great tribulation beginning. Even a very casual student of the Bible knows that God at various times and in various ways has mysteriously appeared to man. God has done it over and over. But one thing you find, God never appears as an apparition. When God has appeared to men, he's appeared as a person or he's appeared as an angel. I want you to think of some examples. In Genesis 18, it tells about Abraham entertaining strangers. And the passage goes on to tell us that one of those strangers who he fed, who he visited with, one of these strangers, it said, was God. In Genesis 19, it reports that Lot entertained two strangers, and it tells us these two strangers, strangers that appeared flesh and blood, they were able to be felt. The people there sought even to reach out and to hold them back. Genesis 19 tells us these two visitors were angels. In Genesis 32, we have the story of Jacob, the story of him wrestling with a warrior all night long. It tells us that that warrior was God in the form of a man. Not an apparition, not something that can't be touched or felt. In fact, in the case of Jacob, you remember before the struggle ended, God, in the form of this man, reached down and touched Jacob's thigh, and the rest of his life, Jacob walked with a limp. God dislocated his hip, a reminder, a sign that he had wrestled with God. We're all familiar with the Exodus 3 account of Moses talking with God at the burning bush. In Joshua chapter 5, we have the story about Joshua meeting a great soldier, and the account goes on to let us know that it was God in the form of a man. Judges chapter 6 relates the experience of Gideon meeting with the angel of the Lord. We find that the demons, in a limited way, also have appeared to men. I want you to think of the story recorded over in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 28, we have the story of Saul and the witch of Endor. I want to read this account in 1 Samuel 28, verses 3 through 22. 1 Samuel chapter 28, starting with verse 3, it says very clearly, "Now Samuel was dead, and all of Israel mourned for him and buried him in his own town of Ramah. Saul had expelled the mediums and spiritists from the land. The Philistines assembled and came and set up camp at Shunem, while Saul gathered all the Israelites and set up camp at Gilboa. When Saul saw the Philistine army, he was afraid. Terror filled his heart. He inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him by dreams or Urim or the prophets. Saul then said to his attendants, 'Find me a woman who is a medium, so I may go and inquire of her.' 'There is one in Endor,' they said. So Saul disguised himself, putting on other clothes, and at night he and two men went to the woman. 'Consult a spirit for me,' he said, 'and bring up for me the one I name.' But the woman said to him, 'Surely you know what Saul has done. He has cut off the mediums and spiritists from the land. Why have you set a trap for my life to bring about my death?' Saul swore to her by the Lord, 'As surely as the Lord lives, you will not be punished for this.' Then the woman asked, 'Whom shall I bring up for you?' 'Bring up Samuel,' he said. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out at the top of her voice and said to Saul, 'Why have you deceived me? You are Saul.' The king said to her, 'Don't be afraid. What do you see?' The woman said, 'I see a spirit coming up out of the ground.' 'What does he look like?' he asked. 'An old man wearing a robe is coming up,' she said. Then Saul knew it was Samuel, and he bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. Samuel said to Saul, 'Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?' 'I am in great distress,' Saul said. 'The Philistines are fighting against me, and God has turned away from me. He no longer answers me either by prophets or by dreams, so I have called on you to tell me what to do.' Samuel said, 'Why do you consult me now that the Lord has turned away from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done what he predicted through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hands and given it to one of your neighbors, to David. Because you did not obey the Lord or carry out his fierce wrath against the Amalekites, the Lord has done this to you today. The Lord will hand you over, both Israel and you, to the Philistines. And tomorrow, you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also hand you over the army of the Israel to the Philistines.' Immediately Saul fell full length on the ground, filled with fear because of Samuel's words. His strength was gone, for he had eaten nothing all that day or night. When the woman came to Saul and saw that he was greatly shaken, she said, 'Look, your maidservant has obeyed you. I took my life in my hands and did what you told me to do. Now please listen to your servant and let me give you some food so that you may eat and have the strength to go your way.'" I want you to carefully consider some of the details of this story. In verse 6 of the story, it said the Lord refused to speak to Saul through his prophets or through the Urim, referring to the two stones, the Urim and the Thummim, which Exodus 28, verse 30, tell us that the high priest used when they had an inquiry to make of the Lord. The Lord would answer by causing a halo to light up around one or the other to tell them whether they should or should not pursue the particular action that they were questioning the Lord about. Since the Lord had turned away from Saul, verse 7 says that Saul turned to the powers of who? It said a medium. He went to a medium, one who communicates with those who supposedly has communication with the spirits of the dead, a practice that Leviticus 20, verse 27, Deuteronomy 18, 10 to 12, tell us that God had expressly forbidden. He said, don't go to those who utter and speak to these supposed gone spirits. God said, don't do it. Verse 11 in this passage, records that Saul asked the medium to consult with the prophet Samuel. Now, we had read in verse 3 that Samuel was dead. Actually, Samuel at this point in time had been dead for some time. You recall that Samuel was the prophet who had anointed Saul about 40 years earlier to be the king of Israel. But when the medium contacted the, quote, spirit in verse 12, it says she actually saw coming up from the ground an apparition that looked like an old man. You see, this apparition was actually a spirit of Satan, one of his demons, personating the prophet Samuel. Then the medium gave to, I mean, the spirit, the apparition, told to the medium the identity of the person who had come to her. He let her know that was actually Saul, and you notice that Saul also assured her that he would do her no harm. He wouldn't harm her for doing what was actually a blatant violation of what God had said. God in Exodus 22:18 had commanded, do not allow a sorceress to live. Verse 14 and 15 reveal that Saul also saw and spoke to that apparition. He communicated as well as the medium doing so. Now, here's an important point. I don't know if you notice, it's interesting that the apparition of the prophet Samuel did not claim to have come from heaven. Instead, this evil spirit gave his explanation that he'd come up from the ground in accordance to what the people at that time believed. You see, the Jewish people understood that when a person dies, they do not go to heaven or to hell, which many churches today teach. They realize that when someone dies, they're in the ground, they're in the grave. And yet, through the mediums, they felt they could call them up from the grave. In verse 16, the apparition states that the Lord had refused to answer Saul's cry for help. This statement confirms that God had nothing to do with this seance. God was in no way trying to communicate something back to Saul. In fact, the text says God would not answer Saul. There leaves one source to be answering him, and that source was Satan. The apparition in verse 19 frankly tells why the Lord refused to have anything to do with him. Then this demon continued to torment Saul by predicting the outcome of the battle and Saul's own death. Now, it's interesting to note that though 1 Samuel chapter 31 records that the prediction came to pass just as this apparition had said, it also tells us that separated from the protection of God, not doing as God had told him, that Saul was actually severely wounded in the battle. Saul was not killed in the battle. Saul, after talking to this apparition who told him he was going to die, Saul then took his own life. He fulfilled the prophecy from the devil himself. You see, it's never safe to put ourselves in Satan's domain, to inquire of him what is to happen. In 1 John 4, verse 1, we are admonished to test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Test the spirits. Test them by the word of God. Do they, what they say, what they do is in accordance, in agreement with God's word? Do they act in the way that God would act? Next Sabbath, we're going to explore this topic a little bit further. We want to look at how and why apparitions form a major part, in fact, in Satan's final arsenal against mankind. We want to look at how Satan is going to work to seek to deceive many. We want to find how that God, through the Bible, forewarns and seeks to protect you and to protect me from entering into Satan's doorway of deception.